the word is taught to receive with meekness. There's no error in our minds and darkness there. We see Christ alone from the world in the name of Jesus Christ. As we study, we are blessed more. As we study, we discover more about ourselves. We discover more about your personality. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Now see, you know, most of it is very good for us to have teachings like this. Amen. You know, in Bible, when it comes to Bible study, there are two ways to approach Bible teaching. One of the ways is subjectarization. Please, permit my grammar. You are not finding it in the dictionary. You teach based by subject. Now, whereby you teach, you have subject like prayer. We have it even in Bible days too. In the days of the apostles, they had subjectarization. Teach subjects like that, prayer, you teach faith, grace, leading of the Spirit, you know, and such kind of subjects. It's not wrong, hallelujah, to teach in subjects. Now, the reason why sometimes teaching in subjects can pose a threat, whereby the pastor or the person teaching can just be teaching, you know, cannot start having a specialization. You understand? Teach pastor, teach grace, they teach. You understand? Once you have all your teaching is grace, you know, that is the hazard of it. You understand? That is the hazard of it. But, you know, when it comes to, there's another format of teaching scripture, which is where we come to read the scriptures, like we're about to do the book of Galatians. You understand? You read the scriptures. Now, what that helps us do is, you would teach all subjects in it. Amen? Amen? So, and then, you would teach all subjects in it. And it's important for believers to be able to read, for us to read the Bibles, to read the scriptures together. You understand? Reading it together. Paul will write to the churches and say, when you should read this together. Do you understand? In Colossians 4. Let's open our Bibles to Colossians 4. He tells them to read together. So it becomes very vital that we will approach scriptures in this format also. Hallelujah. Verse 16. He said, and when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read in the church of Laodicea. And here likewise read the epistles from the Laodicea. You see, he's writing to a church. He tells them to read. Do you understand? So you read it together. You read scripture together. Hallelujah. It's called community reading. We'll come together and we'll read. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, today we're looking at starting off on the book of Galatians. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or end of the world. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16:15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. He said, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, they shall by no means harm them. Then they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Luke 24. From verses 47. I'll start from verse 46. It is. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and Paul said, behold, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." You see that? So, John 20, 23. John 20, 23. I'll start from verses 21. And he said to them, "Peace to you." Okay, sorry for that. Hallelujah. So, now we said John 20:21, right? I said, "The peace unto you as my Father sent me, so send I you." He said, "And when you have said it, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost." It is, "Whatsoever sins ye remit are remitted, and whatsoever sins ye retain are retained." So we said this would be Jesus' closing remark, right? Closing instruction within the 40 days. Hallelujah. And we'll see shortly why we have to study this. Hallelujah. Matthew will capture that instruction as to raise disciples. Right? Matthew, to raise disciples. To make men students. Make men apprentices. Really. And as an apprentice, where you grow, right? Where you grow to start raising other apprentices. So as an apprentice, you grow. Students, you grow to start making other students. Hallelujah. To raise other men. So Mark and Luke will focus on the entry into that discipleship, which is when the gospel is preached and the man believes in the gospel, right? And Luke will call that gospel, call the gospel of repentance. The gospel of repentance and remission of sins. Hallelujah. So, which when a man believes, right, he is saved. Hallelujah. When a man believes, he is saved. Or John will put it this way, his sins are remitted. Glory to God. And when he doesn't believe, he is the sin that we think. Mark will say, he is condemned. There is only he that believes not shall be condemned. Mark 16. In John 3:15-16, John will use the same word. John 3:15-16. Will use the same word. He says, "And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but should have eternal life." Hallelujah. Verse 18, "He that believeth not on him is condemned." Hallelujah. I mean, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory, glory, glory. So, a man who doesn't believe is condemned, is condemned, is not saved, is damned, that is the word. So it implies, when Matthew says, make disciples, that word is a, should I call it a big word? Hallelujah. For when it says make disciples, it will be the shorthand for both the entrance into discipleship and what is done in discipleship. Now what the raised disciples have to do with both that entrance and what happens in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a big word. Glory to God. So, remember we said in our teaching on loyalty, we said the background would be the local church, right? Which implies the primary responsibility of the local church is to raise men. To raise men. So a strong local church is a local church that is strong in grooming men, raising men. Hallelujah. That is the church that is given to God's cause in the earth. Because John, when Jesus said, go make disciples, that is God's, that is God's cause in the earth. That's what God wants. That is what God wants to achieve in the earth. Disciples. That's what God wants to achieve in the earth. Hallelujah. Replenish the earth. You see that? Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Replenish the earth. Hallelujah. So it becomes very vital. So a strong local church that raises men is a local church that is strong or that is in God's will. Hallelujah. That is in God's will for the earth. And it's carrying out God's plan in the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So when Jesus says, make disciples, he tells you, raise disciples, he tells you what should happen in the local church, right? I would say that is the word teaching. Teaching. Now, when you say teaching, remember what I said at the inception of the teaching? I said there are two ways scriptures are taught, right? By subject and by what? Reading the letters, right? Hallelujah. So when it says teaching, that it carries the weight of the two. Hallelujah. The weight of the two. So it implies, it implies that becomes the primary activity or the primary activity when believers are gathered. The primary activity when believers are gathered. Go to God. Primary activity. So when it says teaching them, when it says this is the word teaching them, that is the word didasco in the Greek. Didasco. Didasco is a verb and an active word. So it implies that to teach, the word didasco implies to teach, or that very act of teaching, that very act of giving instruction. So since it's a verb, it is an active word. Didasco is not passive, it is active. So that means teaching in the local church shouldn't be passive. Rather, it should be the primary, the primary activity, one, and should be loud. It should be loud. It's not passive. Teaching shouldn't be SMS. It shouldn't be treated as towards the end. They look at any believer's garden. It should be loud. The disciples were loud. In Acts 2:42, the Bible says, Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. So they continued in it. Hallelujah. In Acts 5:42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Did you see that? They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So they were loud about it. In Acts 6:4, Peter will say, we'll give ourselves continually. Continually. To the... It says, I will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in Acts 11:6, I missed that up. Okay, Acts 15:35. Let's skip that to Acts 15:35. It says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Did you see that? It was active. Hallelujah. Look at verse 36. And they rose some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. Did you see that? So how will they visit their brethren and see how they do? They will yet teach. Hallelujah. Look at verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And they went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. Did you see that? Confirming the churches. So, the teaching of the word, amen, teaching of the word is not passive. Glory to God. That word confirming the churches means they strengthen the churches. So that means they went for follow-up. Hallelujah. They went for follow-up. And then follow-up, they will do follow-up via teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meaning, teaching of the word strengthens the believer. That's what it means. The teaching of the word, follow-up, strengthens the believer. Glory to God. In Acts 18, verse 6 to 11, Acts 18, 6 to 11, we find Paul in Corinth. Hallelujah. Paul in Corinth. And what did he do in Corinth? The Bible says he taught them. Hallelujah. He continued, look at verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word among them. So he stayed 1 year, 6 months, teaching. Hallelujah. In Acts 19, verse 7. So, Paul met 12 guys. Hallelujah. He met 12 guys. And he stayed in verse 10, he stayed in the space of 2 years, that all who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So he stayed teaching them for 2 years. Hallelujah. In Acts 20:20, look at what Paul said to them. He came back and met them, and he said in verse 20, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He taught them. Glory to God. In Acts 21:21, Paul says, and they informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. Neither to walk after the customs. Hallelujah. So they took note of the fact that Paul taught, and it was active. Hallelujah. So when they say customs there, if you have to read down to, when you say customs then, look at verse 22, let's just read it to 24. When you say customs, that's what it means. What is this therefore? The multitudes must need to come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have 4 men which have vowed. Now this was when he got down to Jerusalem. Now he said, take them and purify themselves with them, and be charged with them, that they may shave thy head, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but thou thyself also walk orderly and keep the law. Did you see that? So you know, it's something we'll see in Galatians law. Do you understand me? Nomos, Torah. Hallelujah. We'll see law. And if you look at things, Paul is, if you look at this, if you don't understand what Paul is saying, you look at this, Paul is saying, there's something called Moses' law, we've left the law. No, that's not how to read. Hallelujah. No, we have to look at it well. Hallelujah. Remember, I told us that this will be like an intro to some other things we'll teach concerning Moses' law. Don't have taught it before. Hallelujah. It'll be like an intro. So when he says, so if you look at this, Moses is saying, the law of our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. Generally. Or to bring us to faith. Say, so the law has gone. That is what another person is saying. So Moses is saying the law is gone. Paul is saying the law is gone. We have done it with God. You have missing it. Hallelujah. Now look at what they called the law. They called their customs. Did you see that? They called their customs nomos. I hope you are following me. So that means you now have to look at, when you say Moses' law, what are you saying? So that means the word Moses' law must be looked and seen in context. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, when you get to Romans chapter 8, Paul will say, we'll now break Moses' law for us into two. law of the spirit, and law of what? Hallelujah, law of sin and death. You see, hallelujah. So you now have to, so when you hear Moses' law, we're going to see that. You have to now look in context. What is he talking about? Hallelujah. Is it the, so the question you ask yourself, is it the law of the spirit? Or is it the law of sin and death? Moses wrote the two. Hallelujah. But majorly, what you'll find in Corinth, I mean, what you'll find in Galatians, will be most of, or what you find in Galatians will be a custom, what you call custom. But it will still be called Moses' law. And we'll look at why it is called Moses' law. I hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. Because Moses' law, nomos, will also be used for doctrine. Glory to God. Doctrine, a custom. And you know, doctrine doesn't just mean teaching. We're going to see all that. Hallelujah. It just means teaching. No, it has to do with the lifestyle also. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. Hope you are following me.
Yes,
so those are things that, so you just have to read it again. Read it again. Amen. Look at chapter 28, verse 21. Verse 21. That should be a mistake. That is verse 31. The preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus with all confidence and no man forbidding him. This is telling you that teaching of the word was loud. Hallelujah. It was loud. It was not passive, but active. So the apostles were loud about the teaching. And also, if they were loud, they were deliberate. Right? So that means discipleship is deliberate. I hope you are following this. You don't just do discipleship anyhow. No, you must be deliberate about it. Even what you are going to teach, you have to be deliberate about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they were very deliberate. So the word didasco, has surrounding words around it. Okay, the word didasco has surrounding words around it, which is the word, we have the word didaskalos. Didaskalos deal with the one, I mean, one who teaches. We have didaskos, it means to be skillful. We now have didache. Well, we're going to be dwelling on the word didache. The word didache has the same root word with the word didasco. Hallelujah. It has to do with the mode of explanation. How what is explained is explained. So when Jesus says teaching them, it carries the weight, which we will yet see in how the apostles will teach. Hallelujah. It will carry the weight of the mode of teaching. Hope you are following me. To carry the same weight with what the mode of teaching. How what is taught is taught. Glory to God. It's not just saying go and teach. Just teach anything. No. If you remember I told us before, he gives us the curriculum, right? All that I have commanded you, right? And lo and behold, always to the end of the age. Fine. Now you also still carry the how all what I have commanded you will be taught. Glory to God. So that means there is a how scripture should be taught. There's a how. We're going to see all that today. There's a how. So when Jesus said teaching them, it carries the same weight as I said. So if we are to read Paul's writing, if we are to read Paul's writing, that's what I have in mind. Right? Then the question is, why are we looking at this? Right? I thought it's Paul we are reading. Why are we looking at Jesus' didaction? Well, we will see as we read that what you have as the in the book of Acts and the epistles will be a flow from Jesus' instruction. Hallelujah. To be a flow, to flow what they taught, their attitude, their lifestyle will be a flow from Jesus' instruction in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. It will be a flow. You see that flow. Hallelujah. So if Jesus has said, all that I have commanded you, teaching them, which carries the weight of the word didache, that means that is how they will teach. Hallelujah. So in studying how they will teach, we have to look at how Jesus taught. And then we see that reflection in their teaching ministry also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it will carry the same with how they will teach, how they will write. So when Jesus said, all I've commanded you, it implies I will have to go back and investigate how Jesus taught. Right? How Jesus taught. That will be his didache. Now going back to Luke 24:25. Luke 24:25, he met those two guys on their way to Emmaus. You know, they were unbelieving, disbelieving. And Jesus said to them, verse 25, oh fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Did you know? It is often of the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Now when you use the word enter into his glory, I've seen people make the same mistake over and over and over again. That Jesus was in his glory, he left his glory and came to the earth. So when he came to the earth, he told his disciples, I'm going back to my glory. No. When you use the word enter into his glory, that word enter is used for where you have not been before. Hallelujah. Because his word implies that enter into his glory be the indwelling. I hope you are following me. He has never been there. So I hope you are following me. Glory to God. I don't know if you have heard that story. Say, God asked, who will go and save the world? And Jesus now said, John came out from his throne, from his glory, and said, Father, send me. Hallelujah. So he done and went back to his glory. So enter into his glory will be where he has not been before. And beginning at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 44. Something similar you have to see. Say, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written where in the law of Moses. Beginning at Moses. Written in the law of Moses. Did you see that? So that means Jesus will cast that, will begin his teaching from Moses. Hallelujah. Now, if you will now see, listen to me. You will now see the way that so much Luke and John will write. They will write, they will start their synopsis somewhere, the Genesis. Hallelujah. Start from Genesis. John will say, in the beginning, Genesis. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Go with the God. They will start from the Genesis. Genealogy, Genesis. Very important. So that means when it says, beginning at Moses, beginning at Moses will be Genesis, right? Hallelujah. It says, these are the words I spoke to you. One of the things is that all things must be fulfilled in the love of Moses. That means this is how Jesus taught them even before the resurrection. Hallelujah. That's how he has taught them. Hallelujah. He will teach from the Genesis. Genesis to Malachi. So we can say Jesus taught from the Old Testament books. So that implies that the words of the apostles too. Right? In the word of the apostles too, who would have them begin from where? Genesis. Or put from the Old Testament books. So we say their words will have its origin, put it that way. Their words will have its origin in the Old Testament books. Their words will have origin in the Old Testament. Very vital. We'll get back to see that soon. So let's see how Jesus taught. In Matthew 7, verses 29. Okay, verse 28. When it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. That's the word didache. For he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. When he says doctrine, the word didache has said. So when he said, and they were astonished at his didache, at his teaching. Now remember we said his didache will be Genesis to Malachi, right? So that means they were astonished at his explanation of Genesis to Malachi. Is that so? Come on, is that so? Remember it started from chapter 5, where we call the beatitude, blessed out. And when Jesus used the word blessed out, when you use that word blessed are, you have to go back to Genesis to see what the meaning of the word blessed is, right? When you're blessed are, you are not looking for, you know, in our world today, when you're blessed, your mind is going to money, going to Ferrari, going to Bugatti, going to Corolla, going, you know, your mind is just going to this place. Blessed are thou. He said, are you working? Why are you working? I'm working in NMTC. Blessed are thou. Amen. Why are you working? Okay. Why are you schooling? He said, I'm schooling in Akumba. Ah, concert are thou. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I didn't say anything. I'm just talking. Amen. Thank you. Where are you from? I'm on my book, you are blessed at that. You know, that is what blessed is in our world and generation, right? So are you working now? You say, man, I just bought over Chelsea. You say, oh, blessed at that. You are in for trophy. Hallelujah. Right? What are you doing? I just got over Arsenal. Ah, cursed at that. You understand? You know, it's just like that. That is what blessed is to our world today. How much do you have in your account that has 2.5 billion? Wow, you're a big boy. Blessed. You are blessed. You see? Somebody just dash you money, you say blessed. Ah, you are blessed. Go bless. You are blessed. You see? So just give it that. Just transfer. You know, even your pastor will be. You have to say, ah, Pastor Wisdom, you know, the Lord just laid in my house. I just moved a 2.5 billion to you. Say, oh, the Lord bless you. And you're going out, you are blessed. Hey, nobody knows like money. You will not even know when you get it. I just have like a 2.5 billion. Say, my kid, this is it. Ba-ba-ba. You know, I have a word. That is blessed in our world. But when you go to Genesis, that is not blessed. The man who is called blessed, he does not have a house to stay. He was a wanderer. In fact, who you call a nomad. He didn't have a house. He was moving from place to place, from tent to tent. Amen? That is the man who is blessed. In fact, a man who is blessed is Jacob. His brother who is supposed to be cursed, right? Who is Esau? It was Jacob that came to bend, to bow down. How is blessed though? Like the blessed man bows. They say, no, I can't bow. We don't bear. Stay there. That's blessed. It's because you've not lost your job. Lose your job for 3 months, no money. You say, sir, even if it's 50,000, I walk. Amen. They say, I'm blessed. I'm the blessed of God. He said, I have the food. The earth is the Lord and the prayer. You go walk into our soul rock and say, the earth is the Lord. You will miss. Glory to God. Amen. The man who is called blessed, you see. Through Genesis, you see. In fact, the people who are called blessed were taken into captivity. In fact, let me go put that. They were led to Egypt. I don't want to use that word. That is wrong. But they went to Egypt. Yeah? Amen. They were blessed, though. In fact, I will give to thee blessed man. Yes. Then I arose another king, another Pharaoh who do not know Joseph, and began to deal with them. Amen. Yeah, let us deal with them. They know that we are the blessed. We are the blessed. Blessed people at some point began to curse Moses. Say, Moses, it's because of you now that they've increased our tax. Amen. That is blessed in the kingdom. Glory to God. Remember I showed us on Joseph. His brothers would bow to him. How many of them? He said, even the father and the mother. In fact, there were two people that were recorded that we didn't see them bow to him. The father. We didn't even see Benjamin. Amen. They didn't bow. They know I'm blessed. The blessed of God. I'm the blessed of God. I don't walk in the gutters. I walk in the sky. Oh my. Amen. So you have to look at what is if I when Jesus was not going to give examples of blessed, you know, say blessed are these, blessed are that, when men do what persecute you. I thought if I'm blessed, I'll be riding on Rolls Royce. He said a point will come. that they will kill you and say they are doing service to God. That is the blessed man. Oh. They will kill you and say they are doing service to God. You are blessed and they will kill you.
Hey. Amen. Amen. You know, I saw someone who went to computer village. Blessed man. Tongue talking Holy Ghost to you.
Blessed man. Tongue talking Holy Ghost to you.
But he was greedy. Let me come to that village. And they give him a bracatabra. You know what bracatabra?
He wanted to buy Blackberry. And they gave him fufu phone. You know what kind of phone? Where we smell the fufu?
Amen.
And that day was missing. He came to the village and said, sir, help me. Sir, pastor, sir. As in before, he called me and said, pastor, sir, I wanted to see you. Say, what, sir? Yes, sir. Sir. I'm a child of God, though. I said, yeah. That's fucking dumb. He said, sir, give me fufu. They gave me fufu for it.
Blessed man. Yeah.
He said, I'm fucking dumb, sir. I prayed this morning, man.
Hey, blessed man. The teacher.
What is it? The other guy? Blessed man. I'm sad.
There are blessed men that lose money.
They buy such the spirit. So the spirit of God will feed you. To be known. You understand, sir? This is speaking tongues and give interpretation.
Ask your pastor. You know what happened to Samson? He was the MD. So you know we can blame him for Samson. It's just because we don't want to talk because we are brethren. We are brethren.
Who called and said, sir, come. You are the
MD. Are you not the MD?
What happened to our money?
You know? Well, you're not saying that, pastor. You're just a lie. You know, there's grief. There's grief. You know?
Here, let's start. But how come we're a child of God?
See, what I'm talking about, the things that play in my head, I just didn't laugh at it.
Pastor, we don't, is your manager there? I said, yes, sir. Is that the spirit of God you're not showing him?
Amen. Glory to God.
That is blessed in the kingdom.
But yes, you're still blessed, too. Glory to God. It's still blessed.
So, you know, it's coming down sometimes. So when you read, okay, we're going to get there. But when you read the word, you don't read it in your world.
Amen?
You read it in your world. Glory to God. So, Jesus will teach them and he will say, remember the same Genesis to Malachi, and his words will carry will be from the same from Genesis to Malachi, right? His words will have its origin from Genesis to Malachi. We see all that in Galatians. How Paul will use the word seed, use the word law. You see that it will be, Father Schlegel will call it pinal text, to take you back to the Genesis. Hallelujah. When you begin to see them, and you see, that is how Paul will use it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when he says, for he spoke as one having authority. Now authority there implies that he spoke as one having the authority of scripture. Hallelujah. He spoke as one having the authority of scripture. Or you can rather put the one that scriptures conclude on. That's how you can put it because of the way he spoke. So when he says, not like the scribe. Not like the scribe. It implies the Pharisees too taught from Genesis to Malachi. The people knew he taught from Genesis to Malachi. I mean they taught from Genesis to Malachi. Did you see that? The Pharisees taught from Genesis to Malachi. But their mode of explaining Genesis to Malachi will be wrong. Will be wrong. Look at Matthew 16 verse 6. Jesus will tell them, Matthew 16 quickly, he tells them, beware of the living of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. Take heed and beware of the living of the Pharisees. In verse 12, he now made them see, and they understood that he bade them to beware not of the living of bread, but of the doctrine, that's the word didache,
their mode of explaining Genesis to Malachi. You see that? So that means there is a way I should read Genesis to Malachi. If I read it any other how or whatever, if I read it in another format, not the way Jesus led us to read it, I will read it amiss. You see that? Definitely, I will read it what amiss. I will miss it up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. So there's a way to see. So he says, not of their mode of explaining Genesis to Malachi. So there's a way they explain that is wrong. He said, beware of the living. When you use the word living, it's an Old Testament word also. And it's used to indicate that which is not good, that is that which is corrupt. Amen? Hallelujah. A living. That which is corrupt. Mixture. Do you understand me? Mixture. A living bread is a bread with yeast, right? Right? Baker. Sister that baker. Right? With yeast, right? So the yeast makes it to swell, right? Aha. So Paul too employed the use of that word living in Corinth. Say little living, livingness the whole lump. You see that? Hallelujah. How evil will spread. Livingness the whole lump. So living is used for that which is not good. So quickly, let's look at the Pharisees a bit. A Pharisee is an astute student of the Torah, Genesis to Malachi. A Pharisee knows Moses' Torah by heart. In fact, a Pharisee should be able to memorize Genesis to Deuteronomy by heart. He knows it by heart. That's what a Pharisee is. So that means they know the Torah. They know Moses' law. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus said their mode of explaining it is wrong. So there's a difference between memorizing scripture and explaining it wrong. You understand? In fact, you can memorize scripture so well that you will even not know what it means in context. You see that? Amen? Glory to God. That people, so they know the scripture by heart, but they don't know what it means. They don't know how to, they don't even know how to read it. You know, if you know how to read it well, you know how to explain it well. Hallelujah. So there's a way to read, there's a way to explain. The way to read is the way to explain. That is why a good teacher is a good student. You can't be a good teacher when you're not a good student. No. Remember I showed up, that you also look at Jesus as a good what? Pastor. Look as a good what? Member, church member. He's there in scripture. Hallelujah. What a good church member should do. He's there in scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. So Jesus said their mode of explaining scripture is wrong. Let's go back to Matthew 7:29 again. So he says, for he stood as one having authority. Now that word authority again means one spoke as one that scripture concludes on, right? So look at John 5:39. Jesus was with the same, was rebuking the Pharisees also, right? And he says, you search the scriptures. The Pharisees, what is the scriptures? Genesis to Malachi, right? Right? For this time, it was specific, but let's look at it, Genesis to Malachi. Because if you cannot interpret Moses right, you can't interpret Isaiah right. You cannot interpret Isaiah right and not interpret Moses right. Okay, follow me, because Isaiah will write for Moses. You cannot interpret Jeremiah right. You cannot interpret Daniel right, and then don't interpret Jeremiah right. Because Jeremiah will write, Daniel will write from Jeremiah. Jeremiah will write from Isaiah. Isaiah will write where? From Genesis. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So, it's just as if you are saying, the prophet continued from where the prophet before him stopped. So, they will pick it up from there. They will just prophesy after themselves. And it will be the same thing. Hallelujah. So you cannot tell me, I understood Malachi, but I don't know what the Bible is saying in Genesis, in Exodus 4. No, you understand together. Hallelujah. There you go. Not to know Moses is not to know David. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So when he says, you search the scriptures and then you think you have eternal life. Now, it says, the scripture testifies of me. Of me. Hallelujah. So that means, when you read the scriptures together, you will see that it concludes on me. Now, that word testify is sometimes shown us. It's what that means to bear witness to a conclusion of it. To bear witness to a conclusion of a fact. So it says, they bear witness concerning me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it says scripture, look at verse 44 to 46. John 5, 44 to 46. Somebody says. Okay, that's how I want to testify. He said, do not think I will accuse you before the Father. There's nothing to accuse you. Moses in whom you trust. He said, but if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote what? Concerning me. But if you, but if ye believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? So when it says Moses wrote about him, it means the summary of Moses' writing, or the summary of all Moses wrote, pointed or would conclude, would bear witness to a conclusion about him. Hallelujah. When it says about him, let's look at that. Can we say about the Christ, about the Christos? Yeah, it will bear a conclusion about the Christos. Because when you get to Moses, you don't find anything called Jesus. Right? Right? But you see that it bears witness concerning the Christos. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's move ahead. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, going through my notes very in the early hours of the morning, I was like, what did that happen to Paul here? Now let's go to later than, so let's go to Paul. We'll look at Paul. Verses 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand. The Bible which ye are saved, if you keep in memory all that I have preached to you, unless ye believe in vain. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Did you see that? How Christ. So, Christ will be the conclusion of all the rules. Say, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Right? According to the scriptures. And when you do what according to the scriptures, it means the scriptures together, Genesis down to Malachi. So what will it point to? The Christ. Hallelujah. That's what happened about the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There will be no place where you will find he died. Listen to me. There will be no place where you find the Christos will die, will be buried, and we will rose on the third day. No. Hallelujah. We don't believe you find it. But like, I don't want to use that. But like you will find in the writings of the prophet repeatedly will be what you will find what will happen to all the Christos, all the Christ within the Old Testament group that they died. This is that they were killed. Hallelujah. How are you following me? You define it as a recurring event in the scriptures. How are you following me? As a recurring event in the scriptures. They were killed. Abel was killed. Hallelujah. Or you put some of them, or you put that they died. Glory to God. Then you also find Jonah. Jonah will say he resurrected. Glory to God. So you will find that as a recurring event in scripture. So Paul will now say, when you read them together, you will see, hallelujah, you will see that the scripture speaks of the Christos, right? And when you put everything together, you will also see that the Christos will die, buried, and he will resurrect. It will be a recurring event in the scripture. So what Paul is talking about will be when you read scriptures together. Hallelujah. Together. Amen. Glory to God. So, and Jesus points our attention to, and this will point our attention, just like Jesus, to reread the Old Testament books. That means what the four Gospels and their pieces will do for you is to tell you to go back and reread again the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Because in rereading them, you will see how they concluded, how they came to those conclusions in the four Gospels and the epistles. You are pointed back again to reread. Remember we said their words will have its origin where? In the New Testament books. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah.
the word of God. And he will tell you that you will see that all they wrote will conclude on what Christ did in the redemption. Glory to God. So reading scripture will mean I have to read it from this Genesis. That means Bible study becomes critical. I've said it over and again, it's not a bedtime story. It's not something you do, let me put it like, it's not something you do at your leisure. Let me just put it like this. No. Bible study, you must see, I say this and I do it a whole lot. You must be deliberate about it. Hope you are following. You must be deliberate. This is the amount of hours I want to study scripture per day. You must be deliberate about it. Hallelujah. You must be deliberate about it. 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Just be around the scripture. It's not something that I want to teach. So you want to come in the night and say, and you're writing nonsense. No. See, Paul will tell Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved. He says, a workman that need not be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. That's what also to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means as a believer, when you know the totomio, it means it carries the weight of a sojourn. It carries the weight of a minor. How you are careful carries carefulness. That means I must not be jumping from conclusion to conclusion. You know, some people just jump that. No, you don't just jump into conclusions of matters in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So you have to be this deliberate. The Bible study is a deliberate study. One, and it carries the weight of cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. How about just carrying your Bible and just reading through? Reading it through. Hallelujah. That's very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That means I have to read it from the Genesis. Is that what I said? Right? Oh, it's God. And when it means reading it from Genesis, it means I have to read it chronologically. If I bite my tongue. Hallelujah. Really chronologically. So in Matthew 19:3, they came to meet Jesus. Matthew 19:3. Are you there? And the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Hallelujah. They came with Deuteronomy. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Deuteronomy. And what did Jesus answer them? Have you not read? He who made them at the beginning made them the lamb singing. Hallelujah. So they came and they took him and they asked him a question in Deuteronomy. But Jesus' response was to point them to where? He that made them at the beginning. Genesis. You hear that? Hallelujah. Remember I said Jesus will teach from the Genesis. So that means before you get to Deuteronomy, you would have to first of all read the Genesis. Chronological reading. Read from the Genesis. When you look at it, if you read that account very well, it says, have you not read it? I mean at the beginning made them in the for this course. I'm not skipping it. He says, okay, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be cleaved to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twice, but one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Did you see that? So it looks as if Jesus was taking a defense of Moses. Hallelujah. It looks as if Jesus was taking a defense of Moses. But what Jesus was doing was he was only interpreting Moses correctly. Hallelujah. That before you get to the problem, let's see what Moses wrote in Genesis. And in Genesis, we have husband and wife together. Hallelujah. So what Jesus just did to them was that he pointed out a major fact of his didache. You see that? Jesus just pointed out the major fact of his didache, which is what? Have you not read? That have you not read? That is the word anatinosko. Have you not read? In Matthew 12 verse 3, just some chapters before this, Matthew 12 3, they keep asking him questions about the Sabbath, or accusing his disciples concerning the Sabbath, that his disciples are doing what is not lawful to be done on the Sabbath day. And Jesus pointed and said, have you not read that David, when he was hungered, what he did, I mean, him and they that were with him, what they did, they entered into the house of God and ate the shewbread, which was not lawful also. Did you see that? But have you not read that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In verses 5, he tells them again, have you not read in the law? How that on the Sabbath day, the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless. Did you see that? Glory to God. He was pointing out a major fact that you have to believe. Showing them, I've shown you this before, showing them that the Sabbath was used as a shadow. What I know what I said? Right? The Sabbath was a convocation, holy convocation given by Moses to show what will happen in God's Sabbath. So when Jesus now said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, it means what the Sabbath pointed was concerning the redemption. Hallelujah. Word of God. That in redemption, in salvation, man does nothing. Do you get me? Rather, he believes in God's work in what? God's work in redemption. He believes in God's work. So when Moses said you shall not do any work, Moses was telling you in the Lord's Sabbath. For a man to get into the Lord's Sabbath, the man has to do nothing. All a man needs to do is to believe in God's Sabbath, believe in God's work. Hope you are following me. So he has entered into God's Sabbath. Hallelujah. But for you not to miss it, oh, you guys say, hey, why you rest? No, you rest means a walk. Why? Because in Ephesians 2, Paul will say, there's a walk in salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But to enter, you need not walk. Okay, follow me. So what Jesus is pointing to them is, see, in as much as they say there is no walk, remember, people did walk and they were blameless. It shows you that even in the Shabbat, there will be walk. But to enter into it, you have to believe in God's work. Come on. God's work in redemption. That is it. That's what Moses is pointing their attention to. Hallelujah. In chapter 21, they came to meet him again. Chapter 21. They came to meet him again. In verse 16. Glory to God. Now, people were shouting, Hosanna in the highest, in the temple. And you know, people came and said, did you hear what they are saying? They were telling me, I said, have you not heard? Have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. Hallelujah. That will be Psalm 8, verse 2. He takes them back to Psalm 8 to show you that, see, you don't just jump and say things, read well. Hallelujah. That means anagenosko means, first of all, start from the beginning, right? Don't miss details. Did you see that? Don't miss details. Read it again. Did you see? The prophet has spoken about this. Hallelujah. Look at verse 42. Then Jesus said to them, have you not read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders reject? So he pointed them back, their mind back again to Psalms 118, that is, pay attention. Pay attention. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So, in chapter 22, some Sadducees came to meet him. Sadducees are those part of the tribe. Did you see where faction has started? In as much as even they had scribes. The scribes are scholars. Do you understand me? So they now have two sections. The Pharisees, right? And the Sadducees. Now the Sadducees are those, I'm going to put it like this, are those camp of the Pharisees, permit me, that don't believe in the resurrection.
from the dead. Why the Pharisees believe in the resurrection from the dead? I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So they don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. So they came to meet him. In verse 20. And they said, if a man is something, this is a major pointer to what I will teach you. I mean, it will come out again in our teaching on angelic ministry. Look at verse 24. It says, Master, Moses Eve says, if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise him up seed unto his brother. That is Deuteronomy 25. Did you see that? Now they came to meet him again with Deuteronomy. Amen. Let's see what Jesus said to them. Now he says, now there was a man, or they were with us, seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, disease after, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second and the third and to the seventh. And the last of all, the woman died also. Mm-mm. The woman should resurrect. The woman should die too, that is. The woman died. The woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, no, they don't believe in resurrection. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife? So that means they are part of all students of Moses too. But they took their camp in Moses. Hallelujah. He said, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? If they all had her. Is that not interesting? Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said to them, yea, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they are neither marry or are given in marriage. Do you see that? In the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage. But as the angels of God in heaven. So that means, when he said they are neither married or given in marriage, he points your attention again to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27. He made them male and female. Do you understand me? That means male and female will be found in man's world, but they will be God's man. Hope you are following me. They will be God's man in Genesis 1, 26. Hope you are following me. So what you find in God's man will be male and female. That distinction will happen to man, with man. But with God, we are one. And they said, remember what I'm teaching, what I taught us concerning Petrarch system, right? Right? So they will be same in God's man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when they say they neither marry or given in marriage, it's very fundamental. Glory to God. They said, when we get to heaven, we'll continue our marriage there. Who told you? Who told you? Amen. They said, have you heard me say, you won't get to heaven, I will still choose you. You are not aware. That is just, you are just, see, you know, most times in marriage, you know that in marriage, you are permitted to test on certain lies. Mm-hmm. Is it? Permitted to test on certain lies, you know? Like your pastor telling the other sister, you know? Even in the other life. Even in the resurrection, I will choose you again. You are not aware. You know, you are only, you know, you can deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was talking to somebody, so see, that was yesterday. Somebody was saying, the God made and they are beautiful people, just married to beautiful people. And I said, well, then who not marry the ugly one? He says, no, everybody did see. This is why you call people beautiful, where the people are ugly. And all of them, we all married them. Don't mind me. Sometimes I can be controversial. And I just like it. So imagine, I'm going to call him. Imagine Pastor Wisdom. I'm telling the sister. He says, even if this class, what is that word again? You are my what? I heard you guys call it what? No, you are, who are you? You are not your born. Eh? No, there's another word I've been hearing. Listen. Something like, I'm you what? Even if you're teaching this young man, today too, we'll be knowing now.
You are the one that said it the last time I was on base.
Yes. There is a master craftsman.
There's a name that they were calling yourself. So you want to
call. So what do you call the sister to the brother? He doesn't want to say it because now all the reason for him. They formed a name. Maybe people are looking for names like Muti. They had another name for his sister. Let me hear you, I beg. Okay, I'll permit you guys for today. I'll get back to all of you. Not so, sister, sister. when we get in the other side. In the other side. Even in the resurrection, I will marry you again. I will choose you again and again. Again and again and again and again and over again. In the second life. Stop being stupid. Bible says they are like, they are as the angels of God. That means in fundamental fact that we'll see in angelic ministry will be the fact that angels don't marry. One, angels don't have ability to reproduce. Angels don't have ability to multiply. Share your following that. Hallelujah. So that becomes very fundamental. As angels of God. So that question now asks, now comes again. How come do not have giants? How did giants come to be? So Jesus has spent our attention before that angels cannot reproduce. Now in Genesis 6, there's something I have to relook at Genesis 6 again and see what really happened. Hallelujah. I have to look at it again and see what happened in Genesis 6. You open your eyes and look at it again and say, ah, and the sons of God. Sons of God in scriptures are used for angels. Hallelujah. He said they saw the daughters of men. I mean the daughters of men. That they were fair. And they came into them. And they were born. That is verse 5. Giants and what we call Nephilim. Hallelujah. So that means I have to really look at it again. But you just have to point our attention to a fundamental fact. Angels don't multiply. That means, well, for my own study, I discovered that Genesis 6 verse 4 has a syntax error there. So I'll have to relook at it again from the Hebrew and see. Was it actually a marriage? No, it was not. Because even after then, the Bible says in 120 years, there was a flood that wiped up everybody, right? But yet again, we see something in Numbers 13, we saw giants again. So that means we have to look at it again and again. That means you can turn back. If giants are actually made by angels, that means I have to turn back again and say, Grace Kali, was it an angel that impregnated your mother? I thought it was a big show. An angel that impregnated your mother. But no, hallelujah, that means I have to be weak. In fact, science explains giants well. So when now imagine it's child of God is not preacher, now trying to use Genesis 6 to now give a reason for giants in the earth. You know, if somebody who is a scientist look at you and you say, are you normal? This is just This is a genetic imbalance that causes this. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Okay, if you can explain where giants came from. Okay, explain where dwarf came from. So we didn't say dwarf in Genesis. That angel to bad angel. So maybe good angel give it to giants. Bad angel give it to dwarf. Is that it? You are trying to say something that you put yourself in trouble. So we have to read it again. And understand who angels are. We will revisit it on Monday. Don't worry, we'll look at it again because part of the things in Genesis will be what? Angels. So we'll look at angels again in Genesis. On Monday. We will go after we revisit it again. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So that said, let's move ahead a bit. So that means I'll have to reread Genesis 6 again to see what actually happened in Genesis 6. What happened? So, in fact, when you look at that word to come in, however, it says it came into the daughters of men. It's not used for marriage. Are you following me? So that word and the daughter and the sons of God came into the daughters of men. That word came in is not used for marriage. Onto scriptures. In fact, it's used about 500 or something times in the Old Testament prayers. And it's never used. So, right? So that means I have to read, read it again and read it well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what happened? Where did they come from? What would that be? In Bible study, man. Can we continue? So we had the sons of Anak. The sons of Anak. Anak is the name of a man. Not the name of an angel. Numbers 13. When they came, I said, we saw the sons of Anak then. Sons of Anak. Anak was a man. Amen. Or was Saul a product? Saul was, the Bible says, was to the trail of Israel, Saul was like a giant. Hope you know that. Was like a giant. So is he a product of a distant? Or was Zacchaeus a short man, a product of angels visit? Amen. Remember, I told us something. The first thing you would look at, the first thing that would help your Bible study is to first of all see that in Genesis, Moses was not writing science. How should I put it? Genesis is not a science book. You must settle that in your seat. Settle it well in your head. Even me as your pastor, sometimes I'll just out, but you have to settle it well. You know, whenever you just say, Genesis is not a science book. So I can't use Genesis to know where this came from. Do you understand? Moses was writing theology. He was writing God's story. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's story. That is just it. So let's move. Amen. Looks like just too quiet. Okay. Is that, where were we? Anagnosko, right? So that was Anagnosko. Also find it in Matthew 24:15. I get that. So when you, what this means is that Anagnosko means to pay attention to details as you think, right? That means in Genesis 6, so I'll pay attention to what? Details. Because if you don't pay attention to Genesis, you will miss every other thing, especially to details in the scriptures. Example, in Genesis points to us God's perfect picture, God's plan for man. And we said on Sunday that it's God's family, right? Right? What God wanted, E.W. Kenyon would say it's God's family, right? God's family. We'll put it God's pursuit of a family. The redemption is God's pursuit of a family. God's family. So we can say in Genesis, we will see God's family, God's perfect family picture. So what are the details that they missed? The details they missed is that of God's perfect marriage, right? Matthew 19:4. He says, Matthew 19:4, go back there. Matthew 19:4. He says, have you not read, he that made them at the beginning, made them male and female. You see that? God's perfect picture. They missed that. Because in God's perfect man, you will find male and female. Did you see that? Or that was what I said earlier. You find male and female. And that is Genesis 1:27. This would be a count. When Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, made them male and female. Jesus was countering just like Moses. Now what Jesus has done is the fact that, we're going to see that, what is happening, what was prevalent in Jesus' day was also what was prevalent in Moses' world. So Jesus was giving a counter-narrative to what was happening in their world. Hallelujah. It was a counter-narrative of what was happening in their world. Because in their world, women were treated, or in their world or culture, women were treated as, or referred to as nothing. Hallelujah. Women were treated or referred to as nothing. They were treated like cattle. So Jesus' response was that in God's perfect marriage, God's perfect picture, the male and female will be the same. Obiakolemi, the male and female will be the same.
So in verse 5, he now says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Let's get back to that. When he says, for this cause, what he also means is that when he says, the man shall cleave to his wife, I will go back to Genesis 2:24 to see that it is that the man and the wife will be referring to what? Will be pointing to God's unity with man. Do you see that? Because you see, man, God's perfect family, God's perfect marriage, which the physical marriage will now point to. Do you get that? Hallelujah. So the physical marriage will point to God's perfect marriage. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. So it implies that anagenosko would mean to read back from Genesis, right? From Genesis and pay attention to details. Pay attention to details. That's what they mean. They miss paying attention to details. Go to God. Just to point out something in verse 9 of Matthew 19, not in my note, but I want to point it to you. See, I said to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, I shall marry another, committed adultery, and whosoever marrieth her, which putteth away, doth commit adultery. If you read this, you know, what Jesus was doing was giving them God's justice for their world. Right? But the same way, Jesus was pointing out a fundamental truth about the gospel. Hallelujah. God remained faithful to his marriage from the Genesis. You see that? God didn't deny his people. But did we see them go after other gods? They did. Right? But that is what is called adultery. That's what was called adultery. Do you understand me? That's what is called adultery. Man's quest to satisfy his... That's the origin of adultery. Man's quest to satisfy his own desires. Hallelujah. But not for today. We'll look at that some other day. So that means I have to pay attention to details. A fundamental of reading and paying attention to details is what Jesus said to them in verses 8. They're asking them, why did Moses not permit us to give a deed of divorcement? Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. This is that hardness of your heart. So that will be background. Background. You must understand what is the background of why they wrote. What is the background of Matthew 19 verse 9? What is the background of why they wrote? Sometimes the background will make the writer accommodate some of their attitude. Or let's put it this way. It will make God accommodate their weaknesses, their culture. But in God's perfect intervention, in God's perfect plan, we will see that in the four Gospels, right? That will be God's perfect plan. But God will have to accommodate their weakness, their culture, and it will be seen as God's justice or put God's intervention in their world. Look at verse 7. It says, Moses, verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, sclerunocardia, or put sclerunocardia, yeah, sclerunocardia, hardness of heart, sclerunocardia means hardened heart. Hardened heart. And what you read in the Old Testament books for unbelief, found in with Pharaoh, also found in the children of Israel. Unbelief to the gospel, unbelief to the world. It is from another word in the Greek, scleruno. A word used for unbelief in Hebrews 3 verse 15. Hallelujah. So here Jesus makes us see who Moses' audience are. They were unbelieving, hardened heart. This goes to the core of their world. Were men of hardened hearts. So Jesus' response was going down to the core of their world. He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. This is that hardness of your heart. So it goes down to what was happening in their world as at then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What was happening in their world as at then? He said, Moses, because of that, will say, you give her a bit of divorcement. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what was in their world? What was happening in their world? They were they had the near instant culture. Hallelujah. Of the ancient Glory to God. Right? They had the near instant culture. Hallelujah. And in the near instant culture, they were seen as being brutish. Where men kill themselves to show dominance. One, that is Moses' world. Right? Women were treated as chattels and are killed when the man has no need for them. So killing was normal. In fact, killing is justice. Amen? You know, today in our world, even when the judge declares somebody to die by hanging, the governor will not sign. It will get, I hope you know that. So death by hanging, sometimes in the country, it has turned towards life in prison. It's another word for life in prison. But nobody will sign. You know, that will not be seen as justice in our world today. In their world, that is justice, right? Justice is somebody stole my thing, I killed the person. So we will now say how Moses will not write. Moses will not accommodate some of their culture. Okay, you know what? You know, instead of Moses to just say, no more killing. They will kill you that say that. Do you understand? Amen? Because that was so all Moses said, okay, rather than kill, what if the person that stole your goods, give you 10 goods? That makes sense. You see that? So let the person leave, take 10 goods. At least you are still fine. Do you understand? That is God accommodating their culture, accommodating their weakness. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. So, in their word, they say women were killed, right? When man has no need for them. So Moses' writing was to tell them that, okay, you know what? Rather than kill her, why not give her a bill of divorcement and put her away? You know what I'm saying? And put her away. I hope you're following me. And put her away. So, in order for her now, not to now become everybody's prey, you know what I'm saying? At that point, she's free. Mm-hmm. She's free. She's now free from your whatever. Amen. Glory to God. Let me not go beyond that. I wanted to say something, but let me leave that for now. Hallelujah. So Moses telling them to put her away and give her a bill of divorcement was justice for her. Hallelujah. Was justice for the woman. And it was seen as God's intervention. That was God saving the woman from being dead. Hallelujah. So, Bible interpretation. That was God saving the woman. So when Jesus said Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, now allows you. Doesn't mean from the beginning it was so. In the beginning you have God's perfect picture of the man and the woman in Christ. Alright? The man and woman in Christ. That means they should be treated equally. Hallelujah. But where will you now find the division between the male and the female in man's world? Hallelujah. So Moses will now say, based on what was prevalent in your world, Moses allows you, but look at the perfect picture. The perfect picture is that they are found in God's word, man. Hope you have already. So what Moses was writing in Genesis from chapter 1 is concerning God's theology. And I told you, theology will be understood better where? Come on. I said that on Sunday. Theology will be understood better in what? No? No. I didn't say I said theology will be understood in God's relationship with man. Do you understand? Theology will be understood as now. When you hear Christology will be the end point of theology. Right? Because theology always leads to Christology. But theology will be understood in God's relationship with man. So when Moses is writing, from Genesis, writing relationship, God's relationship with man. That's what he was. Hallelujah. You find it called God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Relationship. I hope you are following this. So God will be best understood. That's how I put it. God will be best understood in his relationship with man. And I say God is a relational God. I hope you are following that. He's a relational God. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So, what Moses is telling them is what Jesus is telling them is point and see God's perfect picture. You will see what God wants. This is God's perfect picture. In your word, this is what you have. So that means from the Genesis, what Moses is writing is God's intervention. So the gospel can be seen as God's intervention. Hallelujah. Theology can be seen as God's intervention. So Moses was writing God's intervention, yet writing about God's relationship. Hallelujah. Pointing their minds again to God's perfect picture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's take a few minutes break. I will meet by 12:30. Thank you.